Let's turn in our Bibles here to the New Testament book of Hebrews. Hebrews is towards the back of your Bible in the New Testament. We are going to go to chapter 5. I am going to read three little verses. Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 13 is what I will be reading. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning for these three small little verses. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Let's pray. Father, as we go through this message here this morning and meditate on your scriptures, Father, I pray that we will all be drawn a little bit closer into that level of maturity, into knowing more about your word, being weaned off the milk, so to speak, and getting more into the meat and into the solid food. So, Father, I hide behind the cross, and I trust that your scripture will just melt right into our hearts and transform us from the inside out. This I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. I have heard from many of you that you have been finding that sermon series, or this sermon series that I've been doing on Old Testament lessons, very enjoyable and very informative. And that's good. I'm very pleased to hear that. I've heard that really from a number of you. If you're like me, many of us, we spend most of our reading time, and I spend a lot of my preaching time in the New Testament, which means we are not familiar with those people and those events from the Old Testament. And so over the last, about 13 or so weeks, hearing and expounding on these interesting stories help us learn from these people, from their failures, and from their successes. But today, and next Sunday, we're going to be taking a small little break from that series on Old Testament lessons. We will resume that on November the 11th. Next Sunday will be the last Sunday before our midterm elections here in the United States, and I want to deliver a message next Sunday concerning some of those issues. And for today, I want to share with you some interesting information that I found, that came across in my email inbox this past week. I was not planning on doing this, but sometimes interesting things just pop up in your email that you say, I think that's where the Holy Spirit wants me to go. I think most of you know that my two favorite pastors that are my mentors, that I glean Bible information from, is a man by the name of John MacArthur from Grace to You Ministries, and another man, his name is R.C. Sproul from Ligonier Ministries. Well, I got an email this past week from Ligonier Ministries. And in this email, it said that a poll was conducted by Ligonier Ministries asking people who call themselves evangelical Christians what they believed about rather basic Bible and biblical issues. And as I read their responses, I felt like their responses were worth sharing to the congregation. And in the meantime, maybe we could maybe take that little test here too. I have been a pastor here at Beech Grove Church for over 11 years now. And it has always been my goal, as your pastor and as the preacher, to share whatever knowledge I may have concerning the Word of God. After all, that is my job, to preach the word of God in and out of season. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. And I believe it's always the goal of every pastor to know that his congregation knows and understands and remembers those things that they have been taught. But when I looked at the results of this poll that was taken by Ligonier Ministries, I had to come to one of three different conclusions. Either A, they were not paying attention when the preacher was preaching. Two, maybe they were just absent on a whole lot of Sundays and they missed some of this great information that was taught. Or three, maybe these people are in churches where these basic truths are not ever taught at all. When I was reading the results of this poll, I have to say this, my friends, I would not and I do not want the people of Beech Grove Church to fail to answer the questions correctly. It's important to me, and it should be important to you, that we get the answers to these questions that were on this poll correct. And they are rather, I would consider these rather simple Bible truths. Every question that we're going to cover today, and they will be in your bulletin, I have covered multiple times here in previous sermons. So this material is not going to be new to any of us, especially if you've been with us here at Beech Grove Church for any length of time. So let's get back to this poll. This poll was conducted earlier this year, 2018, and it was presented to individuals who claim that they are evangelical Christians. So let's ask the obvious question. What is an evangelical Christian? Well, on the back of your bulletin, there's a real lengthy explanation as to what an evangelical bulletin is. But let me give you the short version of that. An evangelical Christian is a believer, first and foremost, a believer, a true believer in Jesus Christ, who is faithful in sharing and promoting the good news gospel concerning Jesus Christ. He or she is a person who wants to win souls for Jesus Christ. I would say that our church is evangelical. I would consider myself evangelical. But let me say this, not all Christians are evangelical, and that's okay to some degree, but every evangelical is a Christian, okay? We should all be concerned about the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. That would make us evangelical, and I'm sure at certain points in our lives, we do share the gospel with unbelievers. But 18 questions were asked on this poll to these individuals, these evangelical Christians. And this morning we are going to cover six of them, and they are written in your bulletin. So we're going to cover them here this morning. And what I did this morning was I picked out six questions that I felt were of utmost importance, basic Christianity 101 questions that we need to get the answers right. Now, to explain what I have here in the bulletin, there are going to be six statements, and we are going to mark, are those statements either true or are they false? I also have a little blank beside that, and it has a percentage sign. What we're going to fill in there, we're going to put a number in there. The number that I'm going to give you is going to be the number of people that thought that this statement was correct. Okay? So I'll give you a number for each one of those six. Again, that number is going to be how many people thought that question, or excuse me, that statement is a correct statement. I can tell you right now, not all these statements are going to be true. And then that date there at the end, like beside question number one, it says 6/5/2016. If you want to, that is the date that I preached on that particular topic. Just one of the dates. So if you want to go back and listen to what I said on any particular question that we have here, just go to our Beech Grove website and look it up and go to that date, and you can listen to that message if you want more information. So there were 18 questions on the poll. We're going to cover 6 of them today. We're not going to cover all 18 of them. Next week, we are going to cover just about 2 or 3 more. We're going to finish this up. So let's start with number one. Number one, there is one true God in 3 persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That is a true statement. Very good. That is a true statement. And are you ready? How many people considered that statement true? This is good. 94%. That's how many people that were polled agreed with that statement. 94% said that that statement was true. I don't know what's going on with the other 6, but at least 94 got it right. This is Christianity 101. We must get this answer correct. A true Christian is what we call, here's a couple big words, a monotheistic Trinitarian. Monotheistic, we believe mono, one, theistic, God. We believe in one God, Trinitarian, tri-three-tarian persons. We believe in 3 persons in one God: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you go to my sermon on June the 5th of 2016, I will explain a whole lot more about that. So 94%. So let's go to the second one. The Bible, like all sacred writings, contain helpful accounts of ancient myths, but is not literally true. That is false. Very good. Very good. You guys are getting the right answer. You're going to get them all right, I'm sure. That is false. But are you ready for this? How many people of these evangelical Christians said that that was a true statement? 77% of the people thought that that was a true statement. If the scripture passages that we have been reading and going over the past 14 weeks in our sermon series on Old Testament lessons, if all those stories that we read, if they are just myths, if they are just stories, then what else in this book is just a myth? What else is just a story? Maybe the 12 apostles are just a myth. Maybe the 12 tribes of Israel is just a myth. Maybe Jesus of Nazareth is just a figment of someone's imagination. And maybe God doesn't really exist either, and maybe the atheists have it right after all. Well, we can't and we cannot pick and choose what we like and what we don't like from the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, training, rebuking, and correcting the man of God in all righteousness. I believe some of these things might sound a little, how do you believe that? It's a matter of faith. I believe that everything that we know, everything we see, was created in 6 literal days, because that's what it says. I believe that Jonah lived in the belly of a great fish for 3 days and for 3 nights, because that's what it says. I believe that the Israelites walked around the city of Jericho, and on the 7th day they blew their trumpets and shouted, and all the walls came tumbling down, because that's what it says. And even in the book of Numbers chapter 22, I believe donkeys can talk. When God wants donkeys to talk. But it makes me wonder, how can 77% of the people who claim to be evangelical Christians believe that some of what's written in this book, it's not literally true? Well, I do, okay? All right, question number 3. Actually, statement number 3. Even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. That is true. That is true. Even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. How many people believe that is a true statement? How many people believe that was a true statement? Only 14 14%. Only 14% of the people polled believed that that was a true statement. Mankind, especially those of us living in America, we have developed this notion that not all sins are equal in the eyes of God. Because in America, and in many places, we place a more severe punishment on certain offenses than what we do other things. You know, murder is kind of a serious thing, but, you know, telling a little white lie is kind of down here somewhere. But we got to remember this. No matter what the sin is, be it up here, we consider it up here or down here, they all carry equal weight in the eyes of an absolute holy God. The truth is that most evangelical Christians do not understand that. They do not understand the absolute holiness of God. Too often we consider him our friend. We consider him our buddy. Too many churches consider him their genie. No, he is an absolute holy God. Jesus says this in John chapter 8, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, you will die in your sins if you don't believe that I am who I say I am. In Romans 6, 23, we all know this one. The wages of sin is what? Death. Is death. The wages of sin. It didn't say the wages of some of your sins or the wages of your big sin is death. The wages of any sin is death. So any sins, even the ones we consider really big or the ones we consider really small, will bring spiritual death. But I have to wonder, how can 86% of the people polled who claim to be evangelical Christians believe that the consequences of sin, maybe they're determined by the sinner and not by an absolute holy God? So that's three questions. Let's go to question number four. Statement number four. God counts a person as righteous, not because of one's works, but only because of one's faith in Jesus. That is a true statement. God counts a person righteous because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And this is probably pretty good. 81% of the people believed in that statement, agreed with that statement, and that's not too bad. Mankind never has, and mankind never will be, saved according to his or her good works. Amen? We know that. It's not a works-oriented righteousness. Nor do our good works, can they ever contribute in any way to that what was accomplished by Christ on the cross. Again, what did he say as he was dying on the cross? He said, it is finished. It's all done. He looks at each and every one of us and says, guess what? You can't do it. I've already done it all for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, for by grace we have been saved through faith, and this is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Remember, I've said this often, I'll say it again. There's two things we must remember. There's no crying in baseball, and there's no boasting in heaven. Because if there was boasting in heaven by our works, we could all go on up there and then we'd all start arguing that I got there because I did this, and you'd say you got there because you did that. But it still makes me wonder, how can 19%, I think that's one out of every five people who claim to be evangelical Christians, how can they believe that good works are in some way necessary for one's salvation? That is basic Christianity. Moving on, statement number five. God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Well, we better get this one right. That is false. That is a false statement. That is false. But how many people agreed with that? 64% of the people agreed with that statement, that God accepts worship from, actually it starts off, all religions, and then it just mentions three specifically. No, he does not accept worship from all these other religions. God does not accept worship from anyone outside of a Christian relationship with who those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is the only people he will accept worship from. In John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus is having a conversation with a Samaritan woman. And he tells her this. He says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And how do we do that? We must possess the Spirit of God to worship God. And there's only one category of people out there who have the Spirit of God, and that would be true Christians. That would be believers. That would be us. And Jesus says this in John 14:6. We heard it in Sunday school. We'll hear it again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to the Father except through me. Amen. How can 64% of the people polled be evangelical Christians when they believe God accepts the worship from a Muslim who believes in a false God? Inconceivable. Not to take a line from the Princess Bride, but inconceivable. I can't believe this. And sixth and last one. The statement says this: God is unconcerned with my day-to-day decisions. That's false, my friends. That's a false statement. But how many people agreed with that? 65% of the people agreed with that statement, that God is not concerned with their day-to-day activities and decisions. So let me just give this brief explanation. We all know this. We live in a fallen world. Trees, they will wither and they will die. Animals, they live their lives and then they're going to pass on too. And us, human beings, sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we contract diseases. Sometimes we have hardships and we have family struggles. And sometimes we battle addictions, and sometimes we even need motivation to get up in the morning and go to work. Sometimes we worry about this, and sometimes we worry about that. And too often we sin and we break the law of God. And then even after all of that negativity, there'll come a day when we are all going to die and pass on too. That, my friends, is just the human condition of living in a fallen world. And then we ask, when we're going through such things, we ask, does God really care about me? And we believe that he does not, because we don't receive every little thing that we ask for, exactly how we want it and where we want it and when we want it. And if you really look at that kind of an attitude, that's kind of a really selfish type attitude. Because it's too often, too easy for us to have this, it's all about me attitude. It's all about my health. It's all about my wealth. It's all about my prosperity. I am convinced that there are two major reasons why 65% of the people polled believe that God is unconcerned with their day-to-day decisions. And that would be this. Number one, I believe those same people do not go to God with their day-to-day decisions. If you don't go to God with your day-to-day decisions, how can you expect him to be concerned with your day-to-day decisions? And then number two, this one's probably a little more obvious. Those same people, they do not get what they want. So they think God, he no longer cares, and he really doesn't want to get involved with my life. But Jesus says this in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. And again in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus says this: Look at the birds of the air. they do not sow, nor do they reap or gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they?" And God reminds us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he says this, "I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." And at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says this, "And remember this, I will be with you even until the end of the age." But how can 65% of those people polled consider themselves evangelical Christians when they believe that God is really not concerned with their day-to-day life? Well, these are just six of the 18 questions that were on that poll that I received, and I felt that they were extremely important for us to cover them here this morning to make sure that we get the right answers. There comes a time, according to the passage out of Hebrews that we just read, that we need to get off the milk and we need to get into the solid food, or into the meat, as some Bibles would say. But we need to know and we need to understand these basic truths about Christianity. And these six questions, I believe, represent some basic truths about Christianity. The writer of Hebrews tells us that solid food is for the mature. And I say that we as a congregation, we must reach that point where we are mature in our understanding of the Word of God. I do realize we are all at different places in our spiritual walk. Some of us might know a whole lot, and some of us might just be infants. I realize that. But if you ever, ever, ever need to know what the truths are from God's Word, because you feel like, "I just don't know that," please give me a call. I don't care where you're at in your spiritual walk. I would like to help you go from here to here. And if you're here, to go from here to here. I'd like to just take you and make you just a little more mature in your walk. But these six questions, again, represent Christianity 101. And I believe we all got the answers correct. But I do find it heartbreaking, and I have to say this, that so many people who do call themselves evangelical Christians have the wrong answers to these easy questions. And trust me, there's an unbelieving world out there, and they notice what we know and what we don't know. And we must know these basic truths. Not only that, we must be able to stand up for these basic truths. We need to be here on a Sunday morning so we can learn these things. And we must pay attention when we're here. In the meantime, I promise you, as your pastor and as the spiritual leader of this church, I will always promise you that I will give you these truths Sunday after Sunday. They'll continue to be taught here so we can all go from infants up to that point of maturity. I purposely covered these particular questions today because I want these questions to pave the way for what I'm going to talk about next Sunday. There were other questions on the poll. We only covered six. There were 12 other questions. And next week, I'm going to cover about three of them that I think are very, very relevant to the state of our nation and the fact that we have elections coming up. I think we need to understand the answers to these other questions that we'll present to you next week. So it's going to be more questions next week, probably about three. And we need to get those answers right. And then this, then we need to stand up for those truths. And we need to proclaim those truths as Christians. Why? Because as I've been saying since October 21st, 2007, the truth matters. And it will set you free. Amen. Let's pray.